Good morning. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes. Let's start at chapter 2. We're going to read a little chunk of it. Let's start at verse 24. All right, and then we're going to go into chapter 3 as well, okay? So Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. There is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? For to a person who is good in his sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, while to the sinner he has given the task of gathering and collecting, so that he may give to one who is good in God's sight. This too is vanity and striving after wind. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given to the sons of men, for which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, so that no man will find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them to rejoice than to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it. There is nothing to take from it. For God so has worked that men should fear him. Amen. Well, Ecclesiastes, let me do one little quick, is it's kind of an interesting book, right? Ecclesiastes means the ecclesia, the assembling. And so this is an assembling of wisdom, assembling of thoughts. And it's also meant to be also a preacher that speaks wisdom and thoughts. The book claims that Solomon is the author, but most scholars actually believe that he wasn't the author. That the timing of it and the way it was written is probably not him, but someone who he says it's him, but he didn't mean to deceive the audience in any way. He just simply meant to use Solomon as a focal point to express the views, you know. But that doesn't take away from the authority of the book or anything like that. But the purpose and what the author shows is that all earthly goals, right, and blessings, when pursued and ends, right, of themselves, you know, lead to dissatisfaction and emptiness, you know. And living in 2009, we're like, yeah, duh. You know, we see that all around, right? When you simply are pursuing these worldly things, and now the author wants to make it clear, if you pursue God, I think those earthly things happen. You know, Jesus also picks up this theme. That's what he means in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness and all these things will be given to as well. But when we are seeking after the ends, you know, as purely, and that's our goal, it will lead to dissatisfaction, emptiness. You know, and the highest good, you know, in life is in revering God and obeying him, okay? And so that's kind of the background. So we get into the juiciest part, really, of Ecclesiastes, you know, and we just read that here. And he talks about, you know, this idea of our work, you know, and our ultimate purpose and, you know, and all these different things. I know, how many guys were at the women's meeting on Saturday? How many guys were there? Just a few of you, okay? Now, I picked this up because my wife, you know, Lisa, was doing the thing, and so she actually sent me her notes, you know, and I read it, and she has some really good insight, right? So, you know, one of it was the idea that, if you remember from the talk, the idea that when Adam and Eve fell, the curse came, you know, and the curse to the woman was in childbearing, right? and the curse of the man was in work, which is a really, really prophetic, profound punishment, you know, in that fact that men get their worth from work, right? And women get their worth from family and relationship, generally speaking, right? This is just a general observation, you know? And so the resulting curse was that for men, it would deal with the center issue of their worth, you know? And with the women, it would be the central issue of their worth, was it family, childbearing, all those kind of things, right? That's what the curse was. And so he picks on this theme, idea of work, you know, and finding fulfillment in your work and all these wonderful things. And he says, you know, and goes on and says, this is a good thing. You know, that this is the gift of God, he even writes. You know, that in your toil, in your labor, you would see good things come out of it. Right? And this is the part. Good things meaning not necessarily that you'll be successful, you know, or you'll be well compensated, you know, or you'll have time to enjoy your compensation. That's nothing about that, but the simple fact of your work, period, and the enjoyment thereof, he says, is a gift of God. Okay? So it has nothing to do with your success. It doesn't have to do with your compensation. You know, it doesn't have to do with the overflow or the result of or consequences of your work. You know, but the fact that you can enjoy what you're doing, right? That is a gift of God. You know, and so that goes beyond. That's why you can have people that, you know, are not making a lot of money, you know, that are in positions or in jobs that are highly stressful, you know, even somewhat dangerous, but there's life and joy in that, right? Because it's a gift of God, you know, and again, you know, like what I'm trying to do this week, and a lot of if you've been around the morning prayer, you know what I've been trying to do is I'm trying to piggyback off the sermons on Sundays, right, through the week. You know, and so in talking about purpose and, you know, and so that's what enables, you know, like people like my parents and other missionaries and other people that are in very volatile, you know, difficult living standards and situations to excel and have so much joy in what they do, it's a gift of God. You know, because obviously in those settings, right, it's not compensation, right? It's not, you know, about vacation time or, you know, there's something more at work, and as a result of that, in other words, the ends, you know, is not so worldly, so to speak, and as a result of that, right, incredible gain happens. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, and so, and then he, in chapter 3, and a lot of people seem to use chapter 3 to point out the sovereignty of God and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, you can see that, but you're going to miss the point if you focus on that. You know, like, I've heard many sermons, well, it's, you know, there's a time for everything, so God has appointed, you know, da da da, and all these things. Yeah, there is that aspect, but the key phrase is under heaven, right? And so, so what he's talking about what happens here on earth. You know, and so he uses this polemic, right? These two different poles, right? Time to laugh, a time to weep, time to be born, time to die. And so what's the message? The message is under heaven, there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen. You know what I mean? And you're going to go through two different poles and good and bad and all these extremes. And so in essence, it's a bit meaningless. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's going to go on. And if we just take the kind of the hermeneutical view that it's just, okay, God has ordained certain things, we'll kind of miss out on the overall picture. What he's saying is, look at it. He bookends. He talks about work and fulfillment. Then he talks about what happens in life. And then he ends it off with fulfillment again. You know, and so it's kind of like this compare-contrast kind of thing. And so he starts the whole thought off, right? So, you know, you can find fulfillment in your work. It's a gift of God. And he even says, you know, the verse 26, he says, to a person who is good in his sight and has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, while to the sinner, right, he has given the task of gathering and collecting. Now, the key is, as he gathers and collects, guess what? He's going to give to the one who's good. You know, this is kind of the prophetic idea of the transfer of wealth. You know, that God ultimately will transfer the wealth of the nations into the hands of the righteous. And we're seeing a measure of that happening you know, on earth. And I think as we get closer to the end, you'll see that happening in greater, greater degrees. You know, that people, the sinners that are gathering and collecting, you know, in other words, right, they're gathering and collecting, but there's no joy, no fulfillment, and eventually that's going to be given over to the righteous, right? So if you've ever heard that phrase before, the transfer of wealth, right, that it starts off from this passage here, okay? And then it kind of continues on. So there's a time for everything, you know? And so it talks about, you know, this is what life is like, right? You know, people die, people are born, people laugh, you know, you plant, you tear down, you uproot, right? It's just this back and forth, and this is life, you know? And in some way, if you look at that, it could seem very futile, but then he closes the statement again, you know? And he says, every man who eats and drinks, verse 13, and sees good in all his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there's nothing to take away from it, for God has worked that men should fear him. Right? This would be going back to the key again. Right? The greatest fulfillment that you can receive in your life is to fear God and to know him. He'll accentuate this at the end of this whole thing. If you go to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, the last two verses. The conclusion, right? You know, wouldn't it be great if all the guys in the Bible wrote phrases like that, right? Because most of the books in the Bible, no one concludes anything, right? It's just the thought continues on. I mean, wouldn't it be great to, like, you know, Matthew just sums it all up, you know, and Mark just sums it all up. So, you know, all the intricacies and idiosyncrasies in the text, we just boil it down to one point, you know? I mean, it would be fantastic if we did that. Jesus actually did that. It was the great commandment, you know? And so now he comes here and says, the conclusion, well, all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, right? Fear him, right? In other words, it's talking about reverence, right? You know, and obey what he calls us to do. And if we operate out of those two things, you can be assured that you will have fulfillment in your life. Can you imagine your work right now, in where you labor right now, right? That now the end goal is not promotion, right? It's not salary, you know? It's not, you know, your recognition, you know? And all those things are good things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that's evil or worldly or whatnot, but that end will lead to, unfruitfulness, you know, it'll lead to dissatisfaction in your life. But now imagine your goal, you know, in your work is obedience to God, you know, it's reverence to God. Reverence to God meaning doing your work in a way that you know, appeals to God, you know what I mean? Like, you know, doing your work in a way that brings God glory, you know, and what Ecclesiastes, what the author is saying is, if you do that, you will have promotion, you will have recognition, you will have compensation, you will have all those things, and on top of that, you will be fulfilled. You know? I mean, people all over the world are looking for work that's fulfilling and stuff, and I think the Christian message is don't look for work that's fulfilling, right? Work in such a way at your work that brings fulfillment. Right? That's actually pretty good. We should write that down somewhere, Ken, right? You know? I mean that's a huge, huge difference. You know, don't find a fulfilling job in whatever job, whatever task, job God gives you, work in such a way that will bring the fulfillment of God into it. You know, and you know, as in Hong Kong, among workers and these things, I mean, that is the key right there. You know, I mean, that is the goal. That's what we're talking about, marketplace ministry and all these different things. You know, it's to work in such a way that the fulfillment comes. Because you cannot fulfill yourself. Have you ever tried that? You cannot do it. You know, it is what the author says. It is a gift of God. You know, and I think what happens a lot of times is we try to find that fulfillment. You know, you try to find the fulfillment in a dating relationship. You try to find the fulfillment in marriage. You try to find the fulfillment in having kids. You try to find that fulfillment in buying your house. You know, I'm talking about the kind of the American dream in essence, right? You know, but it doesn't work that way. Our fulfillment comes from God. And once we recognize that, what happens is then we align our life accordingly to that, you know, and guess what? Fulfillment begins to flow. You know, I mean, not just because I became a pastor, a minister, because, you know, I was doing ministry or serving the Lord even before I was in a formal position, but man, I had so much fulfillment. You know, and what that led me to do is continue on more and more and more so, you know, and to explore more avenues of ministry and whatnot. You know, and so, you know, I became a pastor through the back door. You know what I mean? I didn't go through the front door and things. And so, but it's, you know, and so it's this is real to me. You know, I mean, this is true in my own life. You know, and I've seen it, you know, work out in my parents. You know, and I've seen the manifestation of this. And, you know, and trust me, you know, my dad before, I mean, he had a lot of money, you know, did a lot of things, very successful, and a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff that he was doing, but just, you know, just working like a rat. Have you ever heard that phrase, right? Even if you win the rat race, you know, it doesn't matter because you're still a rat, you know, and so it's, you know, it's one of those things, and you get out of the race, and you know, and then God just fulfills, all right? So let's close our eyes today as we meditate on that. God has given you work today. And it's kind of bouncing off yesterday. Do something noble with it. Don't just go after the end. More clients, more work, more business, more money, more prestige. The writer of Ecclesiastes is actually saying, if you want all those things, fear God and obey Him. Right? And all those things will come. It is a blessing of the Lord. So as Pastor Nate leads us in a song of worship, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate into our hearts and speak to us as we engage in Him in worship. That the lens of God would come over your work, and ask God for another revelation, a greater revelation, that you would see your work, your position, in God's lens instead of our own. Thank you. Let's highlight our work and let's ask the Lord to just reveal His heart to us. Let's pray that God would really put something in our hearts that truly brings us fulfillment. That we're not running around like rats and trying to grab things. And, you know, that's such a great picture. And the sinner who collects and gathers, but really has no net gain at all. He's talking about a rat. You are not a rat. You're a son and a daughter of God. And so let's just respond to the Lord this morning a little bit. Let's pray together. Thank you, God. Don't get caught thinking that spiritual work is just done at church and whatnot. That's not true. You know, there's a great quote, right? It says, secular work is spiritual if your focus is eternal. Spiritual work becomes secular if your focus is temporal. So it's not about church work or whatnot. What you're doing, when you go to your office, you're doing spiritual work if your focus is eternal. In other words, if your focus is God, in other words, He's the end, instead of gathering, collecting, you know, you're performing spiritual work. Thank you, Jesus. So let's focus on our work in prayer. Let's spend a few minutes, let's pray over your workplace. Let's pray over your role in your workplace. Let's pray for opportunities in your workplace. Let's pray that you would be an example in not only in the way you do your work and in the how of it all, but in the supernatural influence that God will give you in that place. Especially if you already have a place of influence there, right? That God would really anoint you. You know, even more so. That you would use that influence, that wield that influence wisely and for His glory. Just cover your coworkers. Maybe you're not necessarily in a company, but in a different industry. Pray for your industry. Ask God to do something supernatural through you. Let's cover our work right now. Thank you, Lord. I just ask God for grace.
See you today.
we just cover our work, Father God. We just cover the marketplace today. And Lord, we ask, God, that you would just continually to build in us, God, more and more influence, God. Or begin to put into our hearts, God, more and more of the hand of the Lord, God, and the grace of God. Lord, in our workplace, God, Lord, make us the head and not the tail, Father. Lord, that you would just work supernaturally, Father God, to bring about such a systemic change through, God, your servants. We thank you, Father God. Let each of us, God, be atmosphere changers in the marketplace, Father. Thank you. Watch over us today, God. Let us give your Son Jesus glory in all that we do, especially in the way that we do it, God. We bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please continue to pray on your own. Have a great day this week, or this day, right? And we'll see you throughout the mornings.